You know, last time I preached, it was God rescues me from addiction, right? And I mentioned all the stuff that addicts us, you know, we get addicted to. And somebody came to me afterwards and asked, Pastor Sam, what about caffeine? You know, what about caffeine? And I don't think anything's wrong with caffeine. No, you know, I've been drinking coffee for about a year, and at first it was just Sundays, and then it was just every other day, and then it was every day, and then it was just one cup a day, and then it was two cups a day. And so, I was denying that I was addicted to caffeine, but that's one of the things that I said, and, you know, that shows that you're addicted, you deny it. And so... And I accept it. And so this week what I did was every other day, okay, every other day I'll drink coffee. This is my cup though. This is my cup. And then, but I'm trying, I'm trying. But today, the message that I want to give, the title is God's Rest. Okay, God's Rest. And the passage is from Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. It says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the church said, yeah. This passage talks about when you are weary, weak, and tired. And the Bible says this, it even makes young men stumble and fall. You know, young men stumble and fall. I was thinking about that, you know, I just turned 55. You know, what does that mean for me? You know, if it makes young men stumble and fall, I believe what it's trying to say is everyone, okay, nobody's exempt. Everyone will go through a season of being weary, weak, and being tired. What I was thinking is there's so many things that makes us tired. You know, that makes us weak, that makes us weary. It could be spiritual, okay? It could be relational, you know, with your in-laws, you know, it could be circumstances, it could be financial, it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical. Okay, there's so many things that could make us weak, tired, and weary. And the solution that God has is not that you need to work harder, but the solution, God's solution, is that you need to be renewed. Okay? You need to be renewed. Because if we are not renewed, you know, even if you think you're strong, okay, you will stumble and fall. You will crash. Okay? You are going to crash. When we are weak, okay, when we are weary, and when we are tired, you become more easily disillusioned. Okay? You are more easily irritated. You see the worst in people. You become more judgmental, critical, and you tend to blame others more when you're tired, weak, and weary. You lose enthusiasm. You become depressed, hopeless. You get stressed. And you are more open to rejection, shame, and condemnation. You know? We get angry when we get tired. We start to fight each other. We fight the wrong battle. And we lose the spiritual battle when you are weary and tired. We stumble and fall. That's what the Bible says. We stumble and fall. We crash. And what does the Bible say? Okay. What should we do? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it says, make every effort to enter that rest. Okay? This is very important. And when you're tired, when you're weary, okay, make every effort, okay, when you're weak, make every effort to enter the rest. doesn't say beat yourself up more, but make every effort to get into that place of rest. Huh? To get into that place of rest. Because what happens is when we are tired, we put all our energy in getting depressed. We put our energy feeling sorry for ourselves. We put our energy into running away and hiding. Or we put our energy in watching YouTube or Netflix and eating a bag of Doritos or something, you know? But what the Bible says is, okay, are you tired? This is the question that I'm asking you. You don't have to answer. Are you tired? Okay? Are you weary? Okay? Do you feel weak? Okay? The Bible says, make every effort to enter that rest. What does it mean? You got to make up your mind. Okay? You got to make this choice. In the midst of this chaos, it says, make this choice. Put your hope in the right things when you are weary, weak, and tired. Because when we are crashing, we tend to put our hope in all the wrong things. Right? So you got to put your hope in the right thing. And the Bible says, put your hope in the Lord. Okay, put your hope in the Lord. Some of you see God as this angry God. He's going to just point out all the things that's wrong with me. No, no, no. It says when you put your hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. Okay? It's not just human strength. The Bible says you will mount up with wings of an eagle and you will soar. God will give you this supernatural strength. I need to hear amen to that. Okay? Amen. Supernatural strength. Now, those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. There's another translation. You know, it says, those who wait on the Lord. Okay, those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord. My translation will be those who rest in the Lord. Okay, those who rest in the Lord will renew their strength. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? What you need to see, point number one to this message is God protects rest. Okay, God protects rest. Say that to your neighbor. Now, rest is so important that God put it in the Ten Commandments, okay, to keep the Sabbath. The Tenth Commandment, along with do not murder, okay, do not steal, do not lie, keep the Sabbath, rest. Okay? But it's not just one day out of the week. Okay, if you read the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1, right? For human beings, our day begins in the morning, right? We think, because our mentality is, okay, in the morning, what do we need to get done? Okay, what do we need to get? So it begins in the morning, our day, and ends at night, right? When you read the creation narrative, that's not God. God's day begins in the evening. When God created the universe, the Bible says, you know, God created light, let there be light. Okay? And the Bible says, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. And then God created, he did his creative work the next day. And it says, there was evening and there was morning the second day. And it goes on to the third day. There was evening, there was morning, the third day, all the way up to sixth day. You and I, we begin our day in the morning and ended it in the evening. God begins the day in the evening. What does that mean? God's day begins with rest. Okay? And I'll say that again. I don't think you heard me. God's day, your day begins in the morning. What do I need to do? God's day begins in the evening with rest. Okay? And you need that rest to get the things done the next, you know, in the morning. Now, you know, scientists are finding out what God already knew, you know, that we need a good night's sleep. Right? We need a good night's sleep. It makes you feel better. It's a key part of a healthy lifestyle. Right? When you have a good night's sleep, it improves performance. Performance physically, mentally, emotionally, and as a Christian, spiritually. Okay, spiritually. Sleep is important for a healthy heart. Okay? There's a direct correlation with different disease and amount of sleep. Okay? This sleep expert did a study. Heart attack increased significantly during daylight savings when we lose an hour sleep. They said heart attack increased in this country 20% when we lose 1 hour sleep. Okay? And when we gain an hour sleep, you know what the study said? Heart attack decreased. It decreased. Rest improves our memory. Sleep, a good night's sleep, improves our memory. During deep sleep, there's a recent study that came out. It says our body drains the toxin from our brain during deep sleep. And they kind of mentioned that it probably prevents Alzheimer. You know, it's not all just deep sleep could prevent Alzheimer disease. Right? And, you know, little sleep is associated with a shorter lifespan. And spiritually, okay, when you don't get the rest, it opens you up to spiritual attack. You can't discern the will of God when you're tired. Did you know that? Huh? You can't discern the will of God. That's why when I go to conferences and people line up, Pastor Sam, pray for me, prophesy and everything, right? And I pray for them. When I'm tired, I don't. Because I say dumb things. I'm really tired. Right? I don't. Right? You can't discern the will of God. You make wrong decisions. Right? Emotional, like anger. When you're angry, when you're tired, your anger becomes destructive. It becomes destructive. When tired, you will listen to lies. When tired, you will be easily shamed, easily feel rejected, easily become hopeless, easily depressed. Right? Easily depressed. When you don't know how to rest, and when you don't know how to rest, you become cynical about important things. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I'm tired, okay, you know, as a pastor, I should be excited about the Great Commission. Amen? Okay? I should, right? But I'm going to tell you the truth. When I'm tired, I'm not that excited. Now, let somebody else do it. Okay? Okay? When you are really weak and tired, Great Commission causes pressure, insecurity, and guilt. It doesn't motivate you. Right? There's a great commandment to love God and to love others. When you are weak, you know, when you're weary and when you're tired, you say to yourself, you can't trust people. Right? You focus on past rejection. What about spiritual maturity? Isn't that important, spiritual maturity? Amen? Because spiritual maturity is very important. But when you are tired, you don't care. I don't care. You know, church. Church is important, amen? It's the body of Jesus Christ. Church is very important. But when you are weary, and especially if you're burned out, you know what you say? It's all politics. Church is filled with hypocrites. It's a business. And it becomes a business when you're tired. Okay? So we need to discern, okay, when you're weary, tired, and weak, you need to discern the different voices. Okay? What does it mean to hope, wait, and rest in the Lord? Okay? It doesn't mean to sit back and do nothing. It's not a It's not a passive hoping. It's not a passive waiting. It's not a passive rest. It says make every effort to enter that rest. Huh? What you're not giving, what you're saying, I'm not going to, what you have to do is, it's not easy. Okay, it is not easy. Okay? You got to say, I'm not going to give in to the weariness, weakness, and tiredness. You say, I'm going to contend, I'm going to fight, I'm going to stand up to it. Okay? Right now, just as a church, you're very tempted to agree with weariness. You know, you're very tempted to give power to weakness, tempted to listen to tiredness. But as a church, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself. Let's refuse. Okay? Let's refuse it. Okay. I'm going to help you to discern the voices of weariness, voices of weakness, voices of tiredness. You're hearing it right now, and you've been hearing it this week. You've been hearing it during this season, and you need to discern those voices. Right? And what it tells you is this: you can't do it. Okay? You're too filthy. You're too broken. You don't deserve another chance. You failed, and you're going to fail again. There are other people better than you, other people more spiritual, other people more talented. Okay? This voice tells you to be hopeless, to give up, to stay in disillusionment. Okay? Now, you have a choice. You have a choice. There's something that has to come from within you. You can listen to the voice of weariness, weakness, and tiredness, or you could put your hope in the Lord. Refuse to listen to lies. Say no to weariness. Don't listen to weakness. Will not agree with the tiredness. Something in you has to say, I will hope, I will wait, and I'm going to rest in the Lord. This is why this is so important, because the Bible says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Okay? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Okay? It's not just to make you feel better. This is the promise of God. It's not just to make you feel better. Okay? It's not just a pickup. It's not a caffeine hit. Okay? I know what that feels like. Okay? It says they will soar on wings like an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God is offering you and I this supernatural renewal. Can you soar? I can't soar. No matter how I flap, I can't soar. It's a supernatural renewal. But to get that, you have to hope in the Lord, meaning you are not, you're saying, you make a choice. I'm not going to agree with tiredness. I'm not going to agree with weakness. I'm not going to agree with weariness. Huh? And I'm going to hope in the Lord. I'm going to listen to the Lord. Okay? And you got to discern God's voice and the voice of weariness. What God tells you and me, he tells you, I know you. I know you are weary. I know that you feel weak. I know that you are tired. And what God tells you is this, and I will not forsake you when you are weak. I will not give up on you when you're tired, when you are weary. Instead, in your weakness, God says, I will be strong. Jesus says to you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What we need to do is lay everything down at the foot of the cross. Your weakness, your weariness, your failures, your shame, your condemnation, your rejection, your brokenness, your pain, your sin, your failures, the stain that you feel in your heart. You need to lay that down at the foot of the cross. I got another point, but let's do that though. You know, let's take that time to do that. Huh? Some of you have been hearing the voice of weariness, tiredness, and weakness. Renounce it. Okay? Renounce it. Okay? Reject it. Say, I'm not going to listen. Stand up to it. Yeah, the tiredness is like a bully. It's a in the spiritual realm. It's a bully. You stand up to it. Christ in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Okay? Stand up to it. Renounce it. Okay? And then put your hope in the Lord. Okay? Why don't you do that? Do that. Take a moment. Renounce the lies. Yeah. This weariness that's making you just compare yourself. You think you're the worst. Right? Tell that weariness to be quiet. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. That you're hopeless, you know. You're just struggling with the same thing over and over again. And you're not going to be able to overcome. Tell it to be quiet. Tell that voice to be quiet. And put your hope in the Lord who will renew your strength. Believe this promise. He's going to give you the supernatural renewal. Receive the supernatural renewal. You shall mount up with wings of an eagle. You will run and not go weary. You will walk and not be faint. So in Jesus' name, the spiritual weariness, the tiredness, the weakness, come off the people of God right now in Jesus' name. Come off. And Holy Spirit, we give you our heart. We hope in you. Amen. Okay? So point number one was what? Point number one? Yes. God protects rest. And then you have a responsibility. Number two, you protect rest. Okay? You protect rest. You know, what does it mean to protect rest? It means setting some godly boundaries in your life. You need to set some godly boundaries, you know. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about you being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Say to your neighbor, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what that means here, you're not a garbage can. Okay? You're not a garbage can where anyone could just dump on you. Huh? This passage commands us to treat our body as a temple, not a trash can. Huh? A temple is to be treated with respect. You got to treat it like it's something precious, something sacred, something valuable. Okay? What it's saying is, now, you know, in the Old Testament, it was a building, but the New Testament says, you are the temple. Okay, you are the temple. Meaning, my life, my body, my soul is precious. Right? It's very precious. In God's economy, you are so precious to Him God wants to dwell in that temple. Okay? He wants to dwell in that temple. You're so precious to him, God sent his only son to die for you. Okay? To die for you. Okay? And so you need to set two boundaries. Okay? I didn't put that up, but if you're taking note, number one, boundaries with self. Okay? Set boundaries with self. Okay? And don't take this the wrong way, but how do you set that boundaries? Well, you need to know that you are not God. What? Okay. What does that mean? I know that, what we tend to do, we crash. You know why we crash? We try to do everything. We try to have all the answer, to be the person everyone likes. We crash because you believe it all depends on you. Right? That the world will crash. The world will stop spinning if you don't take care of every problem. You know who you're acting like? God. You're acting like God. Say to your neighbor, you are not God. Doesn't that make you feel better? If it didn't make you feel better, you have deeper issue. You have a deeper issue. We need to talk about this. So you believe everything will fall apart if you rest. If you rest. The universe will not fall apart if you rest. God rested. Why? You are not in control. Okay? God's in control. You and I crash trying to be all things to everyone. Okay? And then what happens? When you try to be God, you know, the moment you disappoint someone, you know, and you will, you become weary, weak, and tired. Okay? You can't rest because you fall into this trap. It's such an easy trap to please people, to impress people, to worry about how you look, what others think of you. Right? And when you fall into that trap, you fall into two things. You become insecure or you become proud. Right? What do I mean by insecure? You start to fear people's opinion and you become insecure. Or you think you have to be the best. That's pride. And insecurity and pride will make you crash. Okay? Will make you crash. So you need to set your boundaries with yourself. And I release you to do this. Okay? You know, I told somebody, okay. Number two, boundaries with others. Okay? You know, I'm not going to mention who it is. I told this person, you can say no to me. And he said no. Anyway, when I ask him for some stuff. Anyway, set boundaries, and that's okay. Yeah? Set boundaries with others. I shared this before a while back. Jesus set boundaries with others. Did you know that? Jesus set boundaries with people. Huh? Did you know that Jesus always said no to the devil? Always. Some of you say yes to the devil here and there, you know, and me, you know, too. But Jesus always said no to the devil. The devil comes to him, turn the stone into bread. No. Throw yourself down. No. Bow down to me. No. Right? You know, pleasing the multitude, pleasing the crowd. The crowd wanted Jesus to entertain, perform, do miracles. Jesus said no. To thousands of people, he said no. You know, when it was human agenda and human timetable, you know, the crowd wanted to make him king by force. Jesus said no. His family, his own family came to take charge of Jesus because they thought he was mad. You know what Jesus told his family? No. Okay? Jesus said no to his disciples. Read the Bible. Jesus said no to his disciples' request when it was their own agenda. Okay? You know, let's call out fire from heaven and destroy this town. Jesus said no. Thank God. He said no. When it was their own timing, their own desire, when it was selfish ambition, Jesus also put, you know, mom comes, can you put my son on the right? No, you know, no. Selfish ambition. When they were doing things out of lack of faith, he said no. Another time that Jesus said no, the crowd was taunting Jesus to come down from the cross. You save yourself, come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. He saves others, but he can't save himself. Thank God Jesus said no. He said no. You know, the first boundary is really is what it's saying is don't make an idol of yourself, right? And second boundary is really don't make idol of others, right? And when you fall into the trap of pleasing people, when you make idol of others, you're not surrendered to God. You're not really hoping in the Lord. But you become under the influence when others become dominant. You know who you listen to? Dominant people, the loudest people, most demanding people. You're not operating on conviction of God. You're operating under pressure, stress, anxiety, fear, and performance. You're operating out of insecurity. You're operating out of pride. And not from rest in the Lord. It's not rest in the Lord. I'm doing the work. No, if you're not resting in the Lord, you are falling into the pressure of people. Okay? How many of you want to fulfill God's calling and purpose for your life? Yeah, well, I'm picturing it. All of us in our heart raising our hand, okay? All of us. Then you can't fall into the trap of pleasing people. You know, there's a lot of hindrance in fulfilling God's purpose. There's financial, you know, training. There's gifting that needs to be developed. There's just teamwork, all this stuff, you know. But I see it again and again and again. Somebody will come to me, God, put this in my heart. You know, I believe God wants me to do this. I'm excited to do this for God. And what happened? Somebody disapproves. Somebody criticizes. Somebody don't agree. And they stop. They stop. When God is big in your life, people's opinion has less power over your life. But when we allow fear of opinion of others to become big, God is diminished in our life. Huh? The first two commandments, the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Second one is you shall not make idols. When I make myself an idol, when I make others an idol, I allow something else to take first place in my life. I live for the temporary thing and not the eternal. We give to self and others. When I become an idol, when others become an idol, we give to self and others what only God deserves to have. We give to self and others authority and influence that God's supposed to have over us. Okay? We give authority to others, to idols. When I am an idol, when others are an idol, my opinion and others' opinion matter more than God's opinion. This is a sure way to stumble and fall, to crash. So my challenge to you, right? We're not going to let that happen as a church. Say it to your neighbor, I'm not going to let that happen. Mm-hmm. Let's hope in the Lord. Renounce the self-idolatry and idolatry of pleasing people and turn to the Lord. The Bible says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. Right? This is something supernatural God wants to do. But let's give it, we need to give it a break down the idol first. Right? And we turn to the Lord and we hope in him. You and I will soar on wings like an eagle. Right? They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the church said, okay, let's worship.